Okay, and a good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me, especially on such very short notice today. So today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin. We left off at, no, Avodah Zarah Daf Tez Zayin, right? That's what we're up to. Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, right? That's what we're doing now. Yeah, Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin. We left off on Daf Tez Zayin. These days are confusing me, being a Daf ahead. We left off on Daf Tez Zayin. We are at Tanur Rabbanan Kishenitvas Rabbi Elazar Leminos. Five lines from the 6 lines from the end of the page on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of observing children in Nishmas. His mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Hashalom. So we're going to learn today. First, we're going to talk about the story of when Rabbi Eliezer was almost executed, and that's going to lead us to a discussion of Esnan Zona and how to stay far away, or how far away one must stay from Arayos. Then the Gemara is going to talk about Averos, that the tshuva process might cause a person to die. It will take so much out of a person, and that's going to lead us into the famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya and Yesh Kona Olamo Bisha'a Achas. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the story where Amoraim had to choose between a path, a base Avodah Zarah, and a path past a base Zonos. And then, looks like our Zoom conked out. Are we back on? Okay, looks like we're back on. So then the, sorry about the technical difficulties. Power in camp is not always so reliable. Then we're going to talk about the stories of the arrests of Rabbi Elazar ben Parta and of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon, and what happened to them in the end, and how one of them had 5 accusations against him and nothing happened to him, and the other one had only 1 accusation and yet something happened to him. So let's begin again with 6 lines from the end of the page on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Tan Rabban Kshnifras Rabbi Eliezer Leminos. When Rabbi Eliezer was arrested to try to force him to be Oved Avodah Zarah, the Minim wanted to force him to do Avodah Zarah, to be Kofar in Torah. Haleu Legardom Lidom. They brought him up to a Gardom, they brought him up to an execution station to have him judged and to be executed. So Amrlo Oso Hegmon, Zakin Shekamoscha Yasuk Bidvarim Betelim Alalu. So Hegmon said to him, and a Zakin like you is being involved in such silliness, such ridiculous things. Like the Torah, Kilu, a person would say such a thing. Why is a smart guy like you involved in such silliness, such antiquated silliness? So Amr Lo, Rabbi Lezer responded, Neman alai hadayon, I trust the Dayon that he knows what he's doing. So Kasavar also Hegmon alavu Amr. The Hegmon assumed that Rabbi Lezer must have been referring to him, that he's the Dayon, and therefore that what he's saying is true, that the Torah is Dvarim B'Telem Chasu Shalom. When he said Neman Alaya Dayan, he really meant Aviv Shemashamayim. He didn't mean this guy. He meant that he trusts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything is going to turn out the way it's supposed to. So Amar Lo, the Hegmon said to Rabbi Lezer, Ho the Manti Alecha, since you trust me, I take a Shavua, the Paterata, that you are therefore off the hook, nothing is going to happen to you. Chavetz Chaim writes that since Rabbi Lezer was Mekabel the Din Shamayim immediately, so the din left him immediately. The din against him left immediately. It was an immediate reward for his incredible bitachon. They point out also, the poskim point out, this is yet another example of, there are many examples throughout Shas, of where a person who has to lie should not lie in a way that that he's saying words that are untrue. Meaning, Rabbi Lazar really wanted to say, your Avodah Zarah is meaningless, and the Torah is everything, and I trust the Torah. But he couldn't say that; it would have gotten him killed. And therefore, he said Neman Alai Hadayon. So he was able to say what he wanted to say without insulting the other fellow. And he couldn't lie and say that that I accept the Avodah Zarah, that I trust you, the Dayan, that I trust you, this horrible officer, this min. So he had to say Neman Alai Hadayon, which is something that could be understood l'shnei panim. It could be understood one way or the other. Kishabala Beis Nichsu Tamidu Vetzol Nachmo. When Rabbi Elazar returned home, his Talmidim came to be Menachim him because it was quite the ordeal that he had been put through. So Velo Kibel Olav Tanchumin, he could not be consoled. He didn't understand what he had done so terrible to deserve to have be put through such an ordeal. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, said, Rabbi, Tarsheni Lomer Davar Echad Mimashli Matatani. Maybe if you give me permission to say something that you yourself taught me. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Elazar said, Emor, go ahead, say. So Amar Lo, he said, Rabbi, Shema Minus Baldi Adcha. Maybe something related to Minus, related to Happy Courses, came up with you. And you enjoyed it and you benefited from something that a min had said or done, and that's why you were arrested. Al Dvar Minus. So Amalov, Akiva. Rabbi Elazar said, Akiva, his kartani, you reminded me that taka such an event happened. Because Pamach, Hasisi Mahalich Bashuk Elion Shul Tzipore, one time I was going in the upper markets of Tzipore, Matsasi Echad V'Yakovish Kfar Sechanya Shemo, and a guy found me, and his name was Yaakov Ish Kfar Sechanya. So some have a girsa over here that Matsasi Echad Mitalmide Yeshu Hanotsri V'Yakov Ish Kfar Sechanya Shemo, that this was a disciple of Yeshua Notzri. So in the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Hagos, he writes that it sounds like that Yeshua Notzri lived in the times of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, which was around the time of Korban Abayas. Yet in Sota Mem Zayin and in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin, it sounds like he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachya, and which was a totally different Kufa. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden says maybe there were two Yeshus and they were both apikorsim. So anyway, so Amrali Kasim B'Taraschem, this Min said to me, it says in your Torah Lo Savi Esnan Zona, that you're not supposed to bring a payment for a zona and use that to contribute to Beis Hashem Elokecha, for a carbon for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Ma'u Lasu Semenu Beisakise L'Koyin Gadol. What about using the Esnan Zona to make a Beisakise for the Koyin Gadol in the Lishchas Parhedrin, where the Koyin Gadol has to live in advance of Yom HaKippurim? And I didn't respond to him at all. So then this Yaakov Ish Kafar Sechanya continued. Amrli Kach Limdeni. He says, you know, I learned that the pasuk says in Micha, Ki me esnan zona kibtzavi ad esnan zona yashuvu, that the Navi compares all the matanos that Klal Yisrael gave to Avodah Zarah as an esnan zona. And he says that all the money that was gathered from that which they gave to Avodah Zarah, the enemies will come and they'll take it and they'll give it to their Avodah Zarah. So from the Lashon of the Pasuk, it sounds like that which was given as an Esnan, Armi Mekom HaTinofes Ba'u, the Mekom HaTinofes Yelchu. They came from a dirty place and they're going to end up in a dirty place. And therefore, you're allowed to take an Esnan Zona and make it into a Beis HaKise for the Kohen Gadol, because it's going to a Mekom HaTinofes. V'inani Adavar. See, even though this teaching was said by a min, it was said by an apikores, Rabbi Elazar says, I have to admit, I enjoyed the drasha, that's not a bad drasha, that's where the Esnan goes. And that must be what I had done, that I was arrested. And the Iwan Yaakov, he points out that since his whole Aveira was only Hinani Hadavar, that it was a Machshava, that he thought, that was pretty Gishmak, but it was all B'Machshava, that's why his punishment was only something that was all B'Machshava, that they wanted to execute him, but they didn't actually execute him in the end. The whole punishment was only an all B'Machshava type of punishment. So Avarti Al Mashkas B'Torah, I violated that which it says in the Torah, Harchek me'aleha darkecha zo minus, that you should stay far away from minus. Va'al tikra vel pesach besa zo harushos, and you should stay far away from the government authorities that try to kill the ashirim in order to take away their money. Ve'ikada amri, and some say that the pasuk should be darshened harchek me'aleha darkecha zo minus ve'harushos va'al tikra vel pesach besa zo zona. Va'al tikra vel pesach besa is a reference to how far away one should stay from the house of a zona. Ve'kama, how far does one have to stay away from the house of a zona? Amrav Chissa arba amos, at least four amos. V'rabbanan, and all the Talmidei Chachamim who didn't have this drasha of this Yaakov Ish Kfar Sechanya, who was a min and an apikores, what did they learn from the pasuk of Me Esnan Zona Kavtsa? Meaning, they don't learn his drasha. So, hi me'eslan zona, my darshi bay. I'm sorry. What are they darshan from the pasuk of me'eslan zona? Me'eslan zona kavtza. So the Merom Yisad, the Netziv, points out l'chora the Chum don't disagree with what he said that you're allowed to make a beis hakise out of an esnan. They just said that you're not allowed to hear even something that is worthwhile and that is a valid drasha from a min. So So the kasha of the Gemara is a little bit difficult. It could be, what are the Rabbanim going to do with the pasuk? Exactly what the men did with the pasuk. They'll make the same exact rasha that the men made with the pasuk. So the Netziv points out in Merom Yisada that since you're allowed to use Esnan even for Bedek Abayis, Tosfos points out that you're allowed to use Esnan even for Bedek Abayis, you're just not allowed to bring carbon with it. So you see that you're allowed to make a Beis HaKisei with an Esnan Zona from a Kal V'chomer, that if you could use Esnan Zona for Bedek Abayis, of course you should be able to make a Beis HaKisei with an Esnan Zona, and therefore the Pasuk is unnecessary to teach me. So as Geshmak, as the Drasha was, that this Min made, that this Yaakov Ish Kfar Sechanya made, we don't need that Drasha. We already know that you're allowed to make a Beis HaKisei out of an Esnan. So that's why the Gemara asks, what do the Rabbanan do with this drasha, with this pasuk? So answers the Gemara, Kedrav Chista. They use it for what Rav Chista taught. Amar Rav Chista, Kolzona Sheneskeres. Anytime a woman takes upon herself the profession of being a zona, and people pay for her services, Lubasof hi socheres. She's going to ultimately be so mevuza, she's going to be so disrespected and disgusting to other people, that she's going to have to pay other people to want to be with her, to want to be intimate with her. That it's going to flip around, that she starts her career getting paid, and in the end she's going to have to pay for intimacy. Rav Chisda says that you have to stay four amos away from an Isha Zona is in disagreement with Rabbi Pedas. That the only thing that's also to do with the Zona is actual Tashmish. You don't have to stay four amos away. That's the Isser Lotikrvu Legalos Erva. Now Tosus writes that Rav Chisda and Rabbi Pedas do not disagree that there is a halacha that you have to stay four amos away. Rabbi Pedas is moda that the Chamim at least were masakin to stay four amos away, because after all, the Gemara in Shabbat says lo yochal azov im azova, that azov and azova should not even eat together. There are harchakos, we have bainita, there are dinim of harchakos. The question was, is it a din derabanan, or is it something that can be derived from a pasuk? That's the whole point of dispute between them. Is it something that's only derived from Divrei Kabbalah, or is it something that is purely derabanan and not even something that's derived from Divrei Kabbalah? Ula ki ave asim mi bei Rav, when Ula would come from the Beis Medrash, have menashik ula achtei bei Yodayu, he would kiss his sisters on their arms. Va'amila bei Hadayu, and some say like on their necks, on their the neckline area. So that's how Ula would do. Now the Rashi writes, because it's a normal thing that when people leave the Beis HaKnesses, that they kiss their family members, they kiss their father and their mother and anyone who they're supposed to be mechabed, they give them a kiss. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that he was menashek because his sister was like an adopted mother for him. She raised him, and therefore he wanted to show her this kavod. Rashi, the Ravid, says that he kissed her, but it wasn't skin-to-skin contact. It was on her clothing, and it wasn't on the hand or on the neck, literally. And that's what the Toras Chaim points out. That's why it says abe yadayu. It doesn't say ayadayu. What's a base yad? A base yad is a sleeve. So it means that he kissed her on her sleeve, but not that he actually kissed her on her arms or on her neck. So that Ula had such a practice. So pliga didaya didaya, the truth is he's soser himself, because da amar Ula kreva bialma aser. Ula holds that all kreva is aser barayos. Any sort of korva barayos is aser mishum, based on leich leich amr nazira schar schar the karma lo tikrav, that we tell a nazir not only not to drink wine and not to eat grape products, which is the aser daraisa, we tell him don't go anywhere near a vineyard. You don't want to be anywhere near where there's even a danger that you might come to eat grape products. Tosus points out that the reason Ula was matir himself was because for him, the reason he was matir himself to kiss his sister was because for him there was no feeling whatsoever. It was like the Gemara in Ksuba says when one of the Gedolei Amoraim was merakid at a chasna, he would take the kala on his shoulders because damia like kikshura, she was like a beam. It didn't feel anything. He didn't feel any sense of anything because he was an ish kadosh v'tahar. So the Marsha writes that the Gemara is mekatzer. It doesn't say the reason that Ula was making for himself because that. and it doesn't say the reason he was medical for himself, because we could have been miyashev that every kirva is asur ba'arayos, and nevertheless he was able to be makil. Anyway, so says Gemara, La Luka shte banos hav. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that La Luka, Aluka has two daughters hav. So Aluka is a reference. Tosus writes that Aluka means Gehenim, that there are two daughters that Gehenim has. So my hav, who are this hav that Gehenim has? So Amar Mar Ukva kol shte banos shetzaakos migehenim. It's a sound of two girls that cry out from Gehenim, from the Yisurin that they're suffering. Va'omos, and they say Ba'olam Azeh Havei Avei, and that in this world they say bring me, give me. Oman Ninu, who are the ones that are always saying in this world give me, and they're going to suffer in the next world? Minus Varashus, those who bring to Krovus Avodah Zarah, and those who take advantage of wealthy Jews in order to pad the king's pockets. Yigida Amri, others say that Amr Rav Chisom Rav Ukva kol Gehenim tzuakas v'omeres hivil li shtei banos, that it's actually Gehenim crying out saying, bring me these people, bring me these shtei banos, shetzaakos v'omeres mal mazah ve'avei. These two, the Minus and the Rishos, who spend their whole lifetimes in this world saying, give me, and then are trying to take from us, either to Krovus Avodah Zarah, they're trying to take from us money to give for the Mas HaMelech, and Gehenim is crying out in the next world, I want those people. Pasuk in Mishlei says that once people attach themselves to Minus, they're not going to do tshuva, and they're never going to achieve Orchos Chaim. Well, obviously, if they don't do tshuva, then they're not going to get Orchos Chaim. They're not going to be able to experience a proper life in Olam Haba, right? What's the Hava Minus? It says, no, Hachi Kamar. What it means to say is, V'im Yashuvu Lo Yasigu Orchos Chaim, that even if they do tshuva, and they're going to get Olam Haba, they're not going to get Olam Hazeh, because they're going to die very soon after they do tshuva and they overcome this Yetzer Hara. The Marsha explains that the reason that someone who abandons Minus and does tshuva is going to die very soon is actually a Rachmanus Min HaShemayim, because Minus is apparently the kind of Yetzer Hara that has a high rate of repeat offense. So a person does tshuva, so before he can repeat the offense, min hashamayim, they take him, so that he'll die a tzaddik and he won't die a rasha. So while he'll be able to have olam haba, he's not going to be able to have olam hazeh, because the pashup shad is like Rashi sounds like he's saying is just the kochos that it takes to overcome and to do tshuva is going to take so much out of him that he's going to drop dead soon after doing tshuva. So the maimer to call the parish minus mayis, is that really true that anyone who's porish from Minos dies soon after? There was a mice of a woman that came to Rav Chista and she said to him, the smallest of the Averos I did is that my younger son came from a relationship I had with my older son, that she slept with her own son and had another child, and that's what she termed the Kala Shebekalos, the smallest Avera that she did. Rav Chista, so Rav Chista said, we better prepare her tachrichin, v'lo mesa, but nevertheless she did not die. So mitakamra kalos shabakalos asam mechal deminos nami havyaba. Why would she describe that as her smallest avera? It must be that she was also not bikaris. She also had violated minos. And you see in this story, she does not die. So how can you say that anyone who does tshuva from Minos is going to soon die? Ben Yoyada raises the obvious question over here. It's one thing to say that Minos is worse than Arayos with one's own son. It's an entirely different thing to say Kalos Shebekalos, that the smallest of the Averos that the person did is Arayos with their own child. I mean, that's a very, very difficult way to characterize such a horrible and gruesome Avera of sleeping with their own child. So the Ben Yoyada explains that mitzvah kala doesn't mean a mitzvah that's or avera kala doesn't mean an avera that's not so serious. Mitzvah kala does not mean a mitzvah that's not so serious. It means that's easy to do, that you have easy access to. And a mother has access to her child, especially in those days where everyone did not have their own bed. Oftentimes entire families would sleep in the same bed. So and no one slept with clothing on. So it was kala shabakalos in the sense that it was the most accessible avera. But anyway, you see, the bottom line is the person did not die, even though they came to do tshuva from minus. Because the person didn't do a real full tshuva. Had she done a real proper tshuva, it would have taken so much out of her that she would have soon died. Ikada amri, others say a different teretz, miminus in me'averelo. Do you mean to, I'm sorry, some have a different kasha, a whole different conversation. Mi minus in me avera lo? You want a darshan from the pasuk that someone who does tshuva from minus will die soon after, but someone who does tshuva from arayos will not die soon after? But there was this mice of this woman who came to Rav Chisda and said that the kalash of Amrla, and she said the kalash of the kalos was that her younger son was a product of her relationship with her older son, Amrla Rav Chisda, Zavidu le Zavdasa, and Rav Chisda said, let's prepare a tachrichon, because she's going to die, umesa, and she died. So don't you see a raya from there that even when it's a rayos, you die when you do tshuva? No, that's not a raya, because who said that she only did a rayos? Maybe what she actually did, she also did minos, and that's why she called the arayos the kalash abekalos, and she died because of the tshuva from the minos. So says Gemara, mi avera lo. Is someone who is Porish from Avera, from Arayos, not going to die? Vatanya. But then we have a brisa that tells the famous story of Amrul of Rabbi Lezer ben Dordaya. They told the story of Rabbi Lezer ben Dordaya that that any available zona who charged for her services, he had taken advantage of such services. And one time he heard about a zona in a far off town, and he took a bag full of money to pay her. Meaning, and she charged a bag full of money as her wages. So Natal kisti narn v'alach v'avrel Hashimah naharos, and he took this bag full of money and he traveled over seven rivers. B'shas hergel davar, and as they're about to have tashmish amita, he ficha, she passed gas. Amra, and the zona said to Rav Lezer ben Dordaya, kishem she ficha zu enu chazer z'mkoma kach Rav Lezer ben Dordaya ein mekablenos so b'tshuva. That just like what just came out of my body never goes back into my body, so too Rav Lezer ben Dordaya is never going to be able to do tshuva, because you're sleeping with every single zona in the whole world. So halach v'yashu ben shneiram gvos, he felt terribly. That really hit him when that was said. To machlokas we showed him who said to. The Gemara says beferish amra, that she said. I seem to remember that there was a girsa amar that he's the one that said it to himself, not that she said to him. That moment he just woke up and he's the one that he didn't have to be told it. Okay, different. I think there are different girsos here, but anyway, he had this moment of tshuva. So halach v'yashav ben shnei harim ugvaos, he went and he sat between two mountains. And Omar, Harim Ugvos, speaks to Alei Rachamim, let the mountains and the valleys be Mavakish Rachamim for me. So Amar lo, the mountains and the valleys said to him, Ashon Mavakish Malecha, Nevakish Al Atzmenu. We have enough on our own plates to be Mavakish Rachamim for Shinemar, Ki Aharim Yamushu, Vagvos, Timutena. So Omar, Shemaim Va'aretz, speaks to Alei Rachamim. So he said, let the Shemaim and Aretz be Mavakish Rachamim for me. Amru, Ashon Mavakish Malecha, Nevakish Al Atzmenu. We have our own problems. Shinemar, Ki Shemaim Kasha Nimluchu Va'aretz. So Amar Chamul Levana Bikshu Alei Rachamim. So he said, let the Chamul Levana, let the sun and the moon be Mevakish Rachamim for me. Amar Lo Ad Shanu Mevakish Malecha Nevakish Al Asmenu. Instead of being Mevakish Rachamim for you, we should be Mevakish Rachamim for ourselves. Shenemar. So Amar Kochavim Umazalos Bikshalei Rachamim. Let the Kochavim and Mazalos be Mevakish Rachamim for me. Amar Lo Ashan Mevakish Malecha Nevakish Al Atzmenu. We need to be Mevakish Rachamim for ourselves. Shneamar V'Namaku Kol Tzva Hashamayim. So Amar, he said, Ein Adavar Tali Elabi. The only one that could do tshuva for me is me. So Hiniach Rosho Ben Birkov. He put his head between his knees. V'Gav B'Bchi, and he cried out, Ad Sheyatsa Neshmasa, till his neshama left him. Yatza Baskel the Amr Rabbi Lezer ben Dordaya Mezum L'Chai Olam Abba, and a Baskel came out and said that Rabbi Lezer ben Dordaya is Mezum L'Chai Olam Abba. So why are we quoting this story? Because we said before that only someone who does tshuva from minus in a full way is going to die in the aftermath of the tshuva, but not someone who commits arayos and does tshuva. Here's the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dedaya who committed arayos and he died in the aftermath of his tshuva. Says Gemara, Hasam Nami Kivin David Beituva Kaminas Damya. He was so connected to his arayos that was his avodah zara. That was his minus, and therefore that tshuva took the amount of kochos out of him that caused him to drop dead. Bach Rebbe Yomer, when Rebbe heard this story, he cried out and he said, Yesh kona olamo bekama shanim. Sometimes it takes people many years to be kona olamo, to acquire their chelik in olam haba. V'yesh kona olamo b'shah achas. And sometimes a person is kona olamo, they're kona their olam haba in a single moment. V'amar Rebbe lo dayin lebali tshuva shemekablen osan ela shekornos and Rebbe. And he says, unbelievable. Not only is a person's tshuva accepted, but they call him Rebbe. He's not Elazar ben Dedaya. He's Rabbi Elazar ben Dedaya. Think about the way he lived most of his life. Why would he be called Rabbi Elazar ben Dedaya? Because that's how complete his tshuva was. The Maral in Chidush HaGadol points out that his name is a remez to his very essence. Very often we have that. The Gemara Brachos Dav Zayin says that a person's name reflects their very essence. That's why the Medrash says that Ruach HaKodesh, the parents have Ruach HaKodesh when they name a child. Because when you name a child, it's not just, you know, like in language in general, we just label things for easier communication. So I call the table a table because everyone universally knows that a table is called a table. But they could have called it something else and it would have been the same thing. The word table is not a description of a table. It's just conventionally that's the way we refer to it. In Lashon HaKodesh it's not that way. In Lashon HaKodesh the word that we used that means something in Lashon HaKodesh actually means it on a deep level. It doesn't, it's not just a label so that we can communicate more easily. Same is true with a person's name. A person's name is not just I don't have to describe people as, oh, the Jewish guy that's bald and about 5'8", and like you'd have to get through so many, that's like most of them, right? So you'd have to get through so many descriptions, so I'll just give him a name, so we'll call him Yankel. No, when you give someone a name, it's a description of their very essence. So the Maral darshins that his name was a description of his essence, both in terms of the Avera that he did, and in terms of the Tshuva that he did. That Durdaya, he says, Durdaya means the sediment of wine. That's the waste product of wine. It's the sediment that sinks to the bottom of the wine bottle. And a Russia is considered to be like vinegar. So it's not totally makulkal, but it's like chometz that's somewhat messed up, but still has some value to it. But someone who's completely attached to an avera, like Reb Elazar ben Dedaya was attached to the avera of Znus, that he went to the ends of the world and spent a great deal of money to be able to do the Avera, he's not even like Chometz. He's the Durdaya. He's the dregs of the wine. Elazar means Kel Ezer, that Hashem is going to help him. That when he wanted to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him in accepting his tshuva. So both in terms of his Avera and in terms of his tshuva, his name alludes to both of those things. Why did he put his head between his knees? So the Ben Yoyada says that he was trying to be mitar himself like a newborn baby, like a baby me'imo. So it means he went in the fetal position. That's what he was doing when he did tshuva, that he put himself in the fetal position. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter now. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonason, Avkazi Borcha, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonason were traveling. Matulanu Treshavili, and they got to two paths. Chad Patsi Apischa Davod Chavim. One of them was going toward the path of an avodah zara, v'chad patia pischa de bezonos, and the other one was went right by a house of zonos. So amalei chad lechavre, one of them said to the other, nezal pischa de avodah zchavim, let's go to the path that opens up toward the avodah zara, dinachas yitzre, because the chazal were successful in destroying the yitzar hara of avodah zara. That's a gemara that appears in a couple of places, that the son of the Anshei Knesset Gedola asked for mercy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help them overcome that yitzar hara, and they destroyed the the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, so that seems to be the safer place to go. So Amalei Idach, the other one said, no, Nezal Pischa de Bezonos, let's go past the Bezonos, V'nechaf Yali Yitzrin, V'nechab Ligra, and then we'll overcome the Yetzirah Hara, we'll actually have the Yetzirah Hara to overcome, and for that we'll get much greater schar. Now, generally speaking, a person is not supposed to be Mishamish Yetzirah Al Manasseh Kabel Pras. The point is not to get great schar, that's not what we're supposed to serve Hashem for. So Ben Yoyada points out, it's not about the schar, it's that when a person does a mitzvah of where they're able to overcome a great Yetzer Hara, it brings them a greater level of simcha. So as opposed to something that you don't really have Yetzer Hara for, it doesn't give a person that much simcha to overcome. So that's what he was saying, we'll get that kind of schar, the schar that you have in this world. So Kimatu Asam Chazin Elzonos Isnakum Mikamayu, when they got to Iskanu Mikamayu, when they got to the Pesach place of Zonos, they saw that the Zonos were going into their tents. So Amalei, so the one who wanted to go by the Beis Avodah Zarah said to the other one who wanted to go by the Beis Zonos, Minalacha, how did you know that you could be somech on yourself to go in this path and you weren't afraid that you might, meaning when you face a Yetzer Hara that's strong, yeah, if you're victorious you'll be happy and you'll be better off and you'll get greater schar and all the good things, but you might fail. So how did you know you weren't going to fail? So Amalei says, Paskin Mishle says, Mizima tishmar alecha tvuna tinsareka. Amalei Rabbanu L'Rava, my Mizima, what does Mizima mean in that Pasuk? So Ilema Torah, if it means Torah, d'chsiv ba Zima, metargumina and atzas chatoin, because the word Zima is used in the Targum, and the word Zima is atzas, and k'siv hifli etza higdil tushia, and we know that the Torah is referred to as etza, so that's what it means, that the Pasuk is saying, Mizima tishmar alecha, that the Torah will protect you, then it shouldn't say mizima, it should say zima protects you, that the Torah protects you. So achikamer, no, what it means to say is the Torah protects you midvar zima, from a matter of znus, from matters relating to these types of averos. Tishmar alecha Torah, it's the Torah that will protect you from these things. Tinsareka, and that's tinsareka, that he's saying, I'm not worried about going by the Pesach Beis Hazonos because we're going to talk and learning the whole time, and the Torah will be shomer, the Torah will serve as a protection. Tan Rabbanan, Kishanitfuzur Ablozim ben part of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. When Ablozim ben part and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion were arrested for being Osik in Torah against the government decrees, Amrlo Ablozim ben part and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, Ashrecha Shinitfasta al Dover Echad, he said, Ablozim ben part said to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, fortunate are you that there was only one accusation against you. You were only arrested on one charge of being Osik in Torah. Oy li shenitfasti al chamisha dvarim. But woe unto me that I was arrested on five different charges. We're going to see what the charges were as the Gemara continues with the story. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said back to him, Ashrecha shenitfasti al chamisha dvarim vata nitzel. You were arrested on five different charges, but you were saved from all of them. Oy li shenitfasti al davarecha veni nitzel. I was arrested on only one charge, and I'm going to be executed for, I'm going to be convicted of that. Of that crime, shata saktabuta, and the reason for it is it's not some sort of injustice. Shata asakta b'Torah b'gemil chasadim. You made time for both Torah and Chesed. Vanilo asakti ala b'Torah b'lvad. I only learned Torah. I was never involved in Chesed. Ukid Rav Huna, like Rav Huna taught, Amar Rav Huna kol osik b'Torah b'lvad, doma k'misha in lo aloka. That anyone is only osik in Torah is as if he doesn't have a God. Shenemar v'yamim rabim liyisrael lelo elokei emes. That we were without the true God. My lelo elokei emes. Shekol osik b'Torah that anyone who's osek only in Torah and not in Gemilas Chasadim, it's as if he does not have a God. So says Gemara, Gemilas Chasadim lo wasak. You mean to tell me that Rabbi Chanina was not engaged in Gemilas Chasadim? Vatanya, we have a brisa that says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, that no one should put his money in a tzedakah fund unless the person who runs the fund is as trustworthy as Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So apparently he spent a lot of time involved in tzedakah, and Mistama, if he was if he was, administering the fund, he was probably also putting some of his own money into the fund. That's what Tosfos points out. That's the assumption. So says Gemara, him knew Udav Mehem Miyavdo Avid. No, no, he was just a trustworthy person. So they let him run the fund, but he didn't put any of his own money into it. So he was not involved in Chesed. He was only involved in Torah. So asks the Gemara, but really, he wasn't involved in Stuka Vatanya. But then when we have a Brisa that Amar Lo Rav Chanina ben Tradyan says to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Mo'u Shal Purim nischalfuli b'maos shel tzedakah v'chilaktim la'aniyim. Now, one time I mixed up my Purim money with my tzedakah money, and I just gave all of it to the aniyim. So you see that he had tzedakah money, and that he was so generous with his money that even when he confused it with his own Purim money that he needed for his own suda, he just gave it all to the aniyim. So says Gemara, you're right. Mavid Avid, he certainly did tzedakah. Kidboile lo Avid, but not to the expectation of what he should have done. Meaning, sometimes you have a big bal tzedakah in the sense that they're giving lots and lots and lots of money, but it's not what they ought to be giving. I think they tell the Maisa that they introduced Rav Steinman once to someone who gave millions of dollars of tzedakah each year, and they told Rav Steinman, this person is a very generous person, he's a big bal tzedakah. So Rav Steinman said, oh yeah, what percentage? Meaning the measure is not how much money you gave. If you're a billionaire and you give $10 million a year of tzedakah, you're falling woefully short of how much money you're supposed to be giving to tzedakah. What percentage? That's the question to ask. So he didn't do what he should have done in terms of tzedakah. As you, Rabbi Lozer, in part of Armu, my time of Tanis, they brought Rabbi Lozer in part and they said, why did you teach Torah? Or why did you learn Torah? My time of Ganavta, and why did you steal? So Amaluhu, so Rabbi Lozer says, I don't know what you're talking about. Isaifa lo safri, safra lo saifa. If someone is a ganav, he's a listim, he's a bandit, then he's not a learned person, he doesn't learn Torah. Those two things don't go hand in hand. And from the fact that obviously the two things don't go hand in hand, so you see that your accusations are not true, because you're accusing me of two things that could not possibly go together, and therefore probably I do none of them, and that's why your accusations of me teaching Torah and learning Torah are not true either, which is fascinating. Torah's Chaim is Medayik, that he didn't say I don't learn Torah, because that would be a lie. So even when you have to lie, again, you don't say it beferish, you say words that could be emes. So he's just said, Isayef lo safri, safra lo saif. So my time of Karulach Rebbe, so then they pressed him further, they said, yeah, why is everyone calling you Rebbe if you don't teach Torah? He said, Rabbi shel tarsiyim ani. No, I'm their weaving teacher. I teach them how to weave. So they call me the master because I'm the master weaver. So I said, they trey kiburi. They said, really? You know how to weave? So they brought him two bundles of thread. Amrle, hey deshasya, hey da'arba, which is the, how do they call it, the warp and which is the woof, right? Which thread goes in which direction? So it's rechesh le'nisa. He had no idea because he never weaved a day in his life. So he had never, what he was even looking at. But it's they were testing him to see if he knew. So it's Rachash Le'Nisa, right? You had this a lot of times, unfortunately, stories in like the Holocaust where they were looking for a particular profession and they would keep a person alive if they had that profession. So people claim to have been that profession, and all these kinds of stories of miracles of how people learned that profession. I think Rabbi Reisman has a maisa that his father became a baker, not during the Holocaust, but after the Holocaust, with a similar maisa, that his father, after surviving the Holocaust, wanted to get to America, but he couldn't afford a boat trip to America. But he saw an advertisement that an American Navy ship was going back to America, and they needed a baker. They needed an assistant baker. So he said, okay, I guess I'm an assistant baker. So he became an assistant baker. So on the trip to America is when he learned how to bake. And that's why we have Reisman's brownie bars, because he learned how to bake on the trip to America. And then on that trip, he got his profession that he was able to support his family with, and get us nice and fat with those brownie bars even to this day. So Srachash Le'Nisa, a miracle happened to Rebbe Lazar. So Asi Ziburta, and a a female bee came, osva al deshasya, and sat on the shasi thread. Vasi zibura, and a male bee came, viasav al da'arba, and sat on the orev thread. And that's how he was able to identify the two of them, because when you weave, one of the threads plays more of the male role, that it sort of penetrates in, and the other one plays the female role. So he was able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that these two bugs landed in these two spots, so he was able to identify which one was which. Tosfos says, hard to believe that he didn't know how to weave, but he had the level of expertise to distinguish between a male and a female bee. And you know how tiny these things are that you're going to be able to say. So Tosfos says, no, it must have been two different meaning, that these were two different species that he was looking at. Somalu haid shasya vaid arba, so he was able to identify for them which was which. Somalay, so they said to him, my time up. Why didn't you come to Beis Avidan, the place where we eat and we drink for the covet of our Avodah Zarah? He said, you know, I'm an old man and I was afraid that I would get trampled if I go there. So they said, why, have you heard of such events happening in our Beis Avodah Zarah that this is a reasonable concern? So happened to be that day an old man was trampled by their Beis Avodah Zarah, so it validated his concern. Then they said, why did you free your slave? You know, you're not allowed to free slaves in our society. So he says, never happened. I never freed a slave. One of them went to be made against Rabbi Lazar, then he did free a slave. Navi came and appeared as one of the Chashuvei Amalchus. So Amalei, he said to him, just like a miracle happened to him up until this point to identify the different threads, and he was saved from every accusation, another nes is going to happen. And you who are made against him, you're just going to show your own rishos, because it's going to come back to haunt you. But the guy didn't listen anyway, and come the memerlu, when he got up and he wanted to say the edus against Reb Lazar that he had freed his slave. On that day, they wrote a letter from the Chashuvei Romi that they wanted to send to the Kesar. And this guy was chosen to be the one to bring the letter. Elio came and threw him 400 parsaos so that he won't be able to come back and be made against Rabbi Eliezer. So the man ran away and he never came back, because if he didn't do his job of bringing the letter on time, he couldn't show his face again. Meaning, even though 400 parsaos is not such a great distance, the Gemara assumes that a person is able to travel. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Tzadi Dalid, one of the main Zmanim Gemaras in Shas, says that an Adam Beinoni can travel 10 parsaos in a day. So 400 parsaos is 40 days journey. Yeah, but if you show up at the mail for the king 40 days late, you'll be beheaded. So he couldn't come back. He knew that he had he couldn't show his face again, and therefore he was not able to. He was not able to testify. So the next piece of Gemara is going to tell us what happened to Rabbi Chanina, the accusations against Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon. But that was the five accusations, and how he got, and how Rabbi Lazar ben Parto was able to get off the hook from all five accusations. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll see if we have a shir tomorrow night. I'm not sure yet. It may be difficult. If not, then Sunday we'll be doing Monday's daf. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you so much for joining me, especially on such short notice.